The question was asked, why did our sages change from Akel HaKadosh to Amel HaKadosh, and why is it so important to say Mashi V'ruach Mor HaGeshem in the wintry season? So, in order to better understand what's going on in these two areas of halacha, we have to take a few steps back. We have to understand the backdrop to prayer in general. There are two approaches to prayer. There's an approach that says, let me placate the God in order to get what I want. So I'm going to say things even though I don't mean them. I'm going to say things just because they should be said and should be expressed. And I'll do what I can to get what I want. That's not the Jewish approach. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his praise of God, when he was praying, Moshe Rabbeinu described God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, the potent, mighty, awesome, great God. So he uses these four descriptory terms, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. So Hakel, the potent, okay, no one's going to argue about that, but Hagibor, the mighty, Hagadol, the great, Hanora, the awesome. So the Talmud says that throughout the period of the first temple, they used those terms of praise. And then the destruction of the temple came. And then the exile of Israel came. And the sages said, Ayei gevurotav. Where do you see God's might? He's letting his house be destroyed. How can you say, Hagibor, the mighty? His people are being scattered. They're taken into slavery. How could you say, Hanora? Yes? So we find in Jeremiah and then later in Daniel that the praise of God was diminished. So along comes Jeremiah and does not describe God as being mighty. Along comes Daniel and does not describe God as being awesome. So they're taking Moshe's terminology, Moshe's form of prayer and praise before God, and they're saying, we can't say that. We don't see it. How can you say that when the people are suffering like this? How can you say that when his land is being destroyed and plundered like this? So you have the period of the exile, and suddenly our praise of God is diminished. And then we come back to rebuild the second temple, and the men of the great assembly say, wait a second, let's look back at what happened here. You had nations voluntarily joining the destruction of Israel. Our neighbors came for free, meaning the Babylonian king offered them to pay them to attack Israel, and they said, nah, we hate him enough, you don't have to pay anything, keep your money, we want to come. And they turned away the offer, and they voluntarily came to kill us. You had a situation where nation after nation joined the war, and they had one intent. Let's eradicate Israel from the world. The war concludes, and we're exiled, but we're still around. And suddenly you see that God was involved, intimately involved, throughout the process. We come back to Israel, and we take a look back, and the sages say, look at what just happened. This is awesome that we were able to last. You have one sheep, and you have 70 wolves standing around thinking, who's going to eat that sheep? If that sheep were around a week later, you'd say, that's a miracle. How'd she escape 70 sheep? That's Israel among the nations. The nations are, you have nation after nation interested in destroying us, and yet, somehow, we're still around. So they said, if we can recognize that, then that term of praise, Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora, doesn't have to be connected to us having a kingdom, to us having a temple, to us being united in the land of Israel. We can look at God's hand in history, have an appreciation, and still say that term of praise. Now, we have to understand this wasn't a game. Let me look for something so I can praise God. No. What we see in this procession is how honest Chazal wanted us to be in our prayer. They didn't want us to use lip service that was irrelevant or that we didn't really sense. Notice that during the destruction, Jeremiah can't say the term Gibor. And Daniel cannot say the term Nora. You have a situation where they were so honest, they couldn't use a term just because their predecessors had used it. And that's how our sages perceived prayer. That our prayer has to reflect what we really see. Now, part of that is affected by season. So in the morning, our sages instituted that we make a blessing, Yotzer Or. We thank God for creating light. Our sages wanted us to look at the sunrise and say, wow, that's amazing, and make a blessing about how God created a beautiful world with light in it. That's the idea of the blessing of Yotzer Or. It's a blessing about the beautiful sunrise. We were granted a beautiful light. Our sages said, what happens when winter comes? Let's think back to society, the agrarian society that was Israel's lot here in Israel. That's what the average Jew did. They toiled their soil. So, rain, their life revolved around whether there was rain or not. Our sages said, starting with Sukkot, we have a mitzvah in Sukkot of shaking the lulav in Esrog. So starting with Sukkot, we see that we do mitzvot that are connected to rain. You'll still learn about the mitzvah of libation of water. In the temple, they pour water in honor of God. You'd think, what an interesting thing. You take the most simple, right? Most simple thing. You take water, draw it out of the ground, and pour it in front of God and say, that's a way of serving Him. Not what we'd think, but our sages taught us that that is a tradition we have from Moshe from Sinai. So, our sages said, when you enter the second blessing of Shemona Esrei, what are you doing? Second blessing is terms of praise. Ata gibor, you are mighty. Mechaye metim, we know you'll resurrect the dead. Rav lo shia, you are a savior in so many different ways. Mashiv aruach amor dageshem, you're the one who makes the wind blow and the rain come down. So those words, Mashiv aruach amorid hageshem, our sages said, have to be expressed at a time when the world is revolving around rain. Everyone wants to know, are we going to have enough food next year? One of the things you guys will notice here in Israel is when we have a good rain, you'll go to the market 3 days later, you'll see your tomatoes are muddy. Okay, you don't get that in the United States. Here in Israel, you'll see, even today, we're still connected to the ground. Go and see. You have a good rain, you'll see 2-3 days later, all the supermarkets have muddy fruit because the fruit was picked from the muddy ground. Now we had a good rain. So, today it's to a smaller degree, but society, until we were exiled, Jewish life revolved around the rain. And even after we were exiled, to a large degree, life was very focused on whether you'd have enough water or not. So our sages said, part of that blessing of praise has to express that appreciation. And they gave it such importance that they said, if you leave out that sentence, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. That's just a beginning of an understanding that our appreciation has to reflect what we really see, what's really important to us, what's really important in life. And being that this is a season where this is really important, so Chazal insisted that this be expressed there. That's for starters. The same is true of a Melech HaKadosh. If we have 10 days where our focus is the fact that God is king over the world and He judges the world and He's the real decider behind how things will play themselves out. So then our sages said that has to be expressed in the prayer. The fact that El means potent and it's very important, that's true. But that's not the point that's being stressed this time of year. We have to understand how far we are today from where the Jewish people were up until the last few decades, up until the Holocaust. So, just to get a little bit of perspective, I spoke to one of my teachers about whether women today fast or don't fast, and how come we say women today, when they're pregnant and nursing, they're weaker than they were once upon a time. So he said to me, you know, my mother and my grandmother, they would fast the full month of Elul, and if they were weak, so they didn't fast the full month of Elul, like Ramadan, right? Every day they'd fast, they'd only break their fast at night. And if they were weak, so then they'd only fast the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, 6 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That was like a common thing, and the women were able to stand up to that. tell a person today, you're fasting tomorrow too. Look at everyone today. After a one day fast, we're all like, huh? But that's what the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva was like. You know, throughout Jerusalem, you'd have 4 o'clock in the morning, the streets were full. People were going to pray. People were going to say Slichot. People were going to add Psalms. The average person would finish the book of Psalms at least once a day in Jerusalem. This is what Jewish life was. We today, we look at these 10 days and we're thinking, what's this all about? But really, these 10 days were so potent. There's a famous rabbi who lived 100 years ago that when they declare the month of Tishrei, when they'd say the blessing on the month, right? Mevarchen HaChodesh. The month of Elul, I'm sorry, we don't bless the month of Tishrei. The month of Elul, he would faint every year. He'd just hear that Elul's coming and boom, they knew every year they'd have to have someone behind them. He'd faint. Because the idea that we're approaching these days where our fate and the people of Israel's fates are being decided, so that's very potent. Today, we're weak and we have a harder time connecting to these ideas, so we have all these questions. But really, if we'd only appreciate, the Talmud asks, why do we daven the rest of the year? Being that our fate is decided on these 10 days, so the Talmud says, maybe we should only daven these 10 days. Why does our prayer matter? So the Talmud says, you're right. Technically, the prime time for prayer is these 10 days. The rest of the year we pray because you could still try to change things. There is such a concept. You can try to get into the king and try to change things. But the prime weight of prayer is now. If you compare davening Shmona Esrei in 3 months and davening now, so let's say to give a parable, but one prayer today equals 30, 40 prayers afterwards. You're here. This is the time. These are the 10 days. So God is saying, I'm going to decide now. Talk to me. That's the idea of Amelech HaKadosh. God is saying, this is the time to talk. Yeah, you could try to get in the rest of the year, but this is the time. This is the time when you don't need excuses. I'm right here. Talk to me.